Hey, it's a good day here, yes? If I say 1, 2, 3, even though it's 5,000 degrees outside, will you say it's a good day? Because we have air conditioning in here? Okay, ready? Here we go. 1, 2, 3, it's a good day. Yes! It is a good day, and how many are thankful for air conditioning in the church right now? Yeah. How many of you are here in church because there's air conditioning? Okay, don't confess that. Don't confess that, okay? Hey, it's a really good day, and I'm always happy to be here on Sunday morning with everybody worshiping. Some of you, you know, when you're really concentrating and you're listening, you frown at me and I don't look at you. But some of you, you smile at me. So Fern back there, you just gave me a huge smile. I just want to say thank you for that. But it's good to be here together and to worship together, pray together, to hang out together. That's all a good thing. Listen, in the announcements, you heard Adrian say that we are doing prayer all the way through the month of August, and we are doing that starting today. So those of you online, I can't help you. But those of you that are on site, stick around. We're going to have a prayer time after this service. About 10 minutes after the service comes to an end, we're going to stay. We're going to ask you to move to the front half, and we're just going to pray together for a while. That's what we're going to do. There's one thing that I want to let you know that I almost forgot, and I thought, every now and then, some of you are asking us, if you're part of our church family, you're hearing us talk sometimes about our development project. And we haven't given you any updates in a while because there's not really a lot to say. And we will give a formal update at our members meeting in September. But if you're wondering about it and you're wondering what's happening, we're going to let you know next Sunday during the prayer time. And you go, oh, so I have to pray if I want to hear the update? Yes, you do. We do have a little update we want to give you, but we're gonna pray over it next Sunday after our service. And so if you want to know, just come. If you want to know before that, just come and ask us. It's fine. And we'll give a formal update in September. I will say, Peter, you know that sometimes there's rumors that go around, right? He's nodding at me going, oh my God. Okay, so somewhere somebody told me the rumor that we sold our other property. Okay, if you have heard that rumor, could you please tell whoever told you? That's not accurate. It's not even close. We did not sell the other property, so I'm just dispelling that rumor as well. Okay, turn the person next to you and go, can you believe the rumors that go around? It's weird, right? It's a bit weird. Okay. If you have your smartphone or your device, you want to check in on our app, you can follow along with the scriptures we're going to give today. You can follow along with the points I'm going to make today in our teaching series. We are wrapping up our series on returning, reframing, rebuilding. We've been doing this for a while, and for several weeks I've been going, we're wrapping it up. Today is the last Sunday. Okay, turn to the person next to you and go, today is the last Sunday. She promised, okay? This is the end. We're going to wrap it up. And we looked at it a bit last week, and we're going to kind of do a part two of what last week was. But so last week we said, it was kind of an anticlimactic ending, to be honest with you. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. We were ending the book of Nehemiah. And it's so tempting, like if you're the one that's supposed to teach and speak about this, it's really tempting to end at the moment where, we built the temple, we built the wall, we got it figured out, and everyone's like, yay, and you just want to go, and that was the end, right? I actually looked ahead at some of the chapters about a month ago and went, oh, really? I got to do this. It's kind of anticlimactic the way that Nehemiah ends. It sort of ends with, they've completed the project, they've posted the selfies, they've done all the things, and you want to end there. But really, Nehemiah had returned to the king, and then he came back, and you remember we talked about this last week, that despite all the commitments, despite all the celebrations, despite all of the repentance and the tears and the celebration of a job well done, they do all of that. Nehemiah goes back to the king, and then he comes back to the land of Judah, back to Jerusalem, and he discovers, oh, they're doing it again. Like they've just gone right back to neglecting the things that matter. They've gone right back to neglecting the things that form them as a community of faith. And when he calls them on it, okay, now I'm adding to scripture a little bit. I'm paraphrasing. But when he calls them on it, goes, what are you doing? He's literally, he's tearing his hair out. They're like, oh, are we still doing that? How many remember that from last week? Okay, turn to the person and go, oh, are we still doing that? You had nice mimicking of my tone of voice. Somebody did that over. That was nice, okay? I want you to walk out of here going, oh, are we still doing that? Okay, this is what I want you to remember today. And, of course, the answer from Nehemiah is, yes, We're still doing that. He's like, and we left them there. We left them reframing and returning and rebuilding in the ing, the continuous present tense of daily life. And we talked about what that meant last week for us as individuals, and we took some time to reflect on that. And we said, today, we're going to talk about the same question, the same continuous present tense, ing, returning, rebuilding, reframing, or whatever order they're in. We're going to talk about it as a church, what it means for us as a church family. So if you're not part of our church family, you get to listen in and be part of and eavesdrop a little on what we're doing. Those of you that are part of our church family, this is kind of a family day. We're going to talk a little bit about that and what that means as a church. And then we're going to end with communion, as we said. So make sure that you have those things ready so that you can do that. Okay. I was thinking about this week. And I remember I grew up in the church, like I was born in the church, right? And I was raised in the church and all that. And I remember growing up, and every now and then, usually at New Year's, the pastor would announce this is going to be our theme for the year. How many have ever seen that happen, right? A theme happen on it, and it's usually New Year's Eve. This is where and as a child, like I took that right at face value. I took that very literally, very seriously, going, oh, this is it. This is the year of destiny. This is the year of revival. This is the year of miracles. I'd be like, oh my goodness, everything is going to change. It's going to be amazing, right? And then, like it seemed to me that things kind of just kept on going normal, right? We had a new banner on the wall, but everything kept on going until the next year at New Year's, and they'd announce a new theme, and I would go, wait, did we do the last one? Did we finish that? Are we done now with the destiny and moving on to something? Now, please don't hear that as a criticism, okay? It's not a criticism of my childhood pastor, who at one point was my father. So I'm not criticizing. Sorry, Dad. I'm not criticizing my childhood pastor or my church. When I was like, it's not that they were just hopping around, you know, one vision to another. Oh, let's try this, let's try that. It's not that. It's sometimes you emphasize one thing over another, right? And then as seasons go on, you emphasize something else. And sometimes you stop, and sometimes you announce a theme, and you take the selfies, and you post it, because the moments matter, and it's really... But mostly, the truth is, we're all just walking along on our journey of faith, one day at a time, right? Mostly, it's about faithfulness. Faithfulness, right? A long obedience in the same direction, as somebody says. One step in the same direction over and over again. And it does matter, and it does make a difference, and it does shape our lives, and it does impact our world over time. But it doesn't usually happen in 30 days. Doesn't even usually happen before, you know, next New Year's. It's a lifetime of walking out our faith in faithfulness. How many could name off like a really special meal, your favorite meal that you get every now and then, like Christmas or Thanksgiving, and you go, oh my goodness, I love that meal. How many right now are thinking of that special meal and wishing I would stop preaching so you could go have it, right? Okay, we all have those moments, you know, the first summer barbecue, the Christmas dinner, whatever it is that you have for that, or maybe Thanksgiving or your birthday, you get a special dessert or whatever on your birthday, or, you know, the dish that we tried for the very first time with different flavors. But do we remember every single meal we've ever had? Looking for an answer here. Do you remember every single meal you've ever had? No, that's the answer we were looking for. No, we're not looking. You don't take a selfie of every single meal that you've ever had, but how many of you are still alive because of the daily meals that you've had? You should all raise your hands. Okay? You know, there's nutrition that comes with meal after meal after meal, whether it's a memorable one or not, keeps us alive. These are the kind of the things that we're talking about as we're walking out our faithfulness. It's one day after another, building our faith, growing in our spirituality. Sometimes we have significant moments along the way of commitment or repentance or rejoicing, but growing in maturity means that we come to the realization that it's the daily practices that actually shape our lives. It's faithfulness that actually shapes our lives. And so when we go, oh, are we still doing that? There you go. The answer is yes. Okay? So let's talk about that as a church. Last summer, if you were here last summer, you were part of our church, we introduced an idea, and it was a part of Evangel's direction. It came out of having been, at that point, 14 months in a pandemic, and I looked back at my notes from last year, and I said, as we get back to normal by this fall, that was a year ago, so that happened. But we had been in the pandemic for about 14 months at that point. We had also been really praying and leaning in a specific direction before the pandemic started, where we just felt like this is the direction that God has taken our church, and we had been taking time, our leadership, to pray and to consider and to listen and to watch where God's at work. And so we talked about this idea a year ago, and some of you are going to go, are we still doing that? And yes, we are, and I want to bring it back to you again, okay? And the idea was, Sunday's not the end game anymore, okay? Say that with me. Sunday's not the end game anymore, okay? Now let me unpack that a little bit for us. This is many in the North American church. I'm not going to speak to the church in the rest of the world, but many in the North American church have functioned for a long time as if Sunday morning service, the 1 hour on Sunday morning, is the end game. That's it. That's the ultimate thing. That's it. Meaning that's the goal. Sunday morning attendance. We get the biggest crowd possible. We get the most, you know, people in the seats, we get the best show in town, and if we just have successful Sunday morning services where we pull out all the stops and we get a big crowd and we all have all the feels, then we know we've nailed it, okay? A lot of us have been functioning for a long time as if that was our measure of success. Now, this has some faulty assumptions behind it, okay? Number one, it assumes that as long as each of us comes to church on Sunday morning, that's all we need for spiritual maturity. Okay? Say with me, that's wrong. That's wrong, okay? And it also assumes that if we put on the best show in town with lots of promo, mind you, then people, outsiders, people who are not part of the church will just, they'll just come, and they will automatically meet Jesus just like they did 100 years ago, okay? These are the assumptions, faulty assumptions that some of us have been living with for a long time in North America. And if that's the case, if that's how church goes, if that's what it means to be doing well and be healthy as a church, then a healthy, thriving church family of followers of Jesus only has one measurement: how many people show up Sunday morning. That's it. That's the only thing we measure. That's the only metric that we have. And I'm just going to tell you right now, that is terrible theology. Okay? Turn to the person next to you and go, that's terrible theology. Terrible theology. And it's completely out of touch with the society that we live in today. Okay? Because Canada has changed. Canada has changed a lot over the last several years. If you're new to Canada, you don't know this. Welcome to Canada. But for some of us that have been born and raised here, we changed a lot. And the truth is, we're not supposed to say this, you know, out loud, because we don't want to discourage anybody, but the North American church has been in decline for a good while. It's been declining. And this has been true even in our own fellowship as well. PAOC has been struggling. We're doing everything we can to try to go, how do we plant new churches? And we're doing that. And how do we reach new people? And we're doing that. But it is an uphill battle right now. Now you go, Patty, globally around the world, that's not the case. I know. In other parts of the world, the church is growing like wildfire. But we're struggling a bit in North America, okay? In North America, in Canada, let me just do Canada. Christianity held some version of cultural dominance for a good while. We were sort of the ones that were, you know, shaping the culture. So people understood, whether they agreed or not, people generally understood what Christianity was. They knew the basics. They didn't have objection to the basics. When I was growing up as a kid in school, everybody went to church. The question was just which church you went to in the small town that I grew up in. So people were in the building on Sunday morning. There was an assumption that people had bought into Christian faith. They understood it. They're living it. Okay, we're good. Right? This is so not true anymore. This is not true. Many, many people here in Montreal, here in Quebec, in Canada, have never been inside a church building. never mind made any kind of faith commitment to Jesus. This is one of the main reasons why we open up our building for things other than our own stuff, because we want people to see the inside of the building so it's a little bit less scary if they ever want to try coming on a Sunday. So it's just, we don't live in a Christian culture in Canada. Many people who are starting off, if they decide to start off in Christian faith today, they're starting from no knowledge at all. They or even worse, they might have incorrect knowledge of something that they've been told of what Christianity was about. We can no longer assume that just because somebody's here on Sunday morning, they fully understand our faith and are fully mature in the faith, okay? That's one faulty assumption. The other one, can I just say, we live in Montreal. We are not capable of putting on the best show in town, okay? And you go, Patty, how could you say that about God? It's not about God, okay? But there are festivals every week here. There are all kinds of events. There's so many options of what to do on a weekend. There's so many things to do, so many places to go, so many things going on. You go to the mountain, you can go to Mount Tremblant, you can go to the townships, you can go to Old Port. And even if we do put on the most exciting event that is happening on Sunday morning, even then, the majority of the crowd are going to be people who are already followers of Jesus. They just go to a different church. Oh, I can't believe she said that. I did, okay? And that's okay if we come together for big events or something like that every now and then, but let's not circulate the saints and call it revival, okay? That's not how Jesus did it. That's not how the early church did it. It's called an attractional model of church. It is not effective, and it hasn't been effective in Canada for a very long time. Today, people are looking for authenticity. They're looking for a place to belong. And they're looking for a spirituality that connects deeply with our souls. And that's actually a good thing. Okay? That's a good thing. And don't get too perturbed, because history shows that when the church is no longer, you know, the ones with all the power, and when the church is not quite comfortable in society, or your people are saying, well, it's harder to be a Christian, right? When that happens, history shows that's when the church gets a little bit stronger. That's when our roots go a little bit deeper. That's when we learn how to pray a little bit more. That's when we learn how to make intentional, committed choices to follow Jesus. We're not just going with the flow. So it's not a bad thing if the church in Canada is not entirely comfortable anymore. Still with me? Still good? We're okay? Some of you are so offended right now. But it does mean Sunday's not the end game anymore. An hour in church on Sunday is not the final goal. It's a great start. It's a great launching point. Really good weekly touch point. But if we walk out of here going, whew, we had a good crowd on Sunday morning, God is here, we're good, all is well, and that's it, we're kidding ourselves. And it sets a very, very low bar, very low standard for what it means to follow Jesus. Okay, turn to the person beside you and go, whew, she's really hitting it hard today. Yeah. Yeah, I know. So this is the idea that we gave you a year ago. Sunday's not the end game anymore. And then we followed it up and we said we're gonna try something for a year, and we're calling it three cohorts on a foundation of prayer. That's what we said we were gonna try for a year. And some of you right now are going, oh, are we still doing that? What do you think the answer is? Yes. Yes, we are. Matthew chapter 22 gives us the greatest commandment, where Jesus said, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And a second one is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. Greatest commandment, love God, love your neighbor. Say that with me, put up one finger. Love God, love your neighbor. These are the greatest commandments, okay? Then you have the Great Commission, which Jesus also gave us in Matthew 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority on heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make what? disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you right to the end. Both of these scriptures, the great commandment, love God, love your neighbor, and the great commission, go and make disciples, both of these things matter. Both of them are pivotal. Both of them deeply shape who we are as a church, who this church family is, and how we live our faith as a community of faith. That's all shaped by these scriptures. If you've been here a while, you've heard us say that we are an inside-out church. We've talked about that a lot, where we say we do good, we love each other, and we reveal Jesus. This is what we pray at the end of every single one of our Sunday morning services, because at the end we say we go out, we are sent to do good, to love each other, to reveal Jesus. We turn ourselves inside out and we go out there into our world, not staying hidden away in the building, not leaving God in the building. It's interesting in this Great Commission where it says go and make disciples, it's interesting that the word is disciples. Therefore, go and make disciples. Teach these new disciples. This is the word that is used. It's interesting that the word is not convert. Go and make converts. Teach these new converts. Now, if you want to get picky, because I love to get picky about English language, I really love English language, in its truest sense, the word convert would work. Because a convert is somebody that has shifted from one position to another. But sometimes in the way that we use that word, all we mean is kind of a one-time decision. I became a Christian today. That's it. One day, one moment, I have converted. I got baptized, got my little certificate, the end, right? It's like a consumer who just bought a product. It's and now you're just carrying on with life as normal. How many know that that's not how Christian faith works? Okay, listen. 2 years ago, I bought running shoes. Does that make me a runner? No, it does not. Have I used them to go running in 2 years? No, I have not. Am I a runner? No. I just have running shoes, okay? If we just say, you know, being a Christian is just a conversion moment one time, and then 2 years later go, I haven't done anything to walk it out, we're probably missing something, okay? And so Jesus uses this word of discipleship because the moment of deciding to follow Jesus is not just a one-off. It's not the end, it's a beginning. It's learning to live as a follower of Jesus, as a disciple. And then the mission that Jesus gave his disciples was to go make more disciples, faithful disciples, people who are living it out for their whole. So if we only count conversions or we only count baptisms, then it's carrying the danger of turning people into projects, you know, really pressuring somebody. You got to make this decision. You got to get baptized. Shh, you're under the water. Good. You're done. Move on. It turns us people into a project. It turns us into an assembly line. And it really sets a low standard for what it means to be a Christian because we are called to be disciples, faithfully learning, always growing, so that people around us see a different narrative and they consider the invitation to come on the same journey with us if they would like to. And discipleship, my friends, is not going to happen in 1 hour on Sunday morning. Okay? So, three cohorts on a foundation of prayer. The goal when we designed this, when we put it together, we said our goal was to offer easily accessible faith community building discipleship. Okay? I'm going to give you the logistics of it. It kind of runs like semesters, kind of loosely spoken, 3 months of cohorts, 1 month of prayer. 3 months of cohorts, 1 month of prayer. Say it with me. 3 months of cohorts, 1 month of prayer. Okay? It's designed for discipleship, is designed to be walked out in the context of this faith community, okay? Let me tell you what they are. Ready? Number one, 3Q. I've had people say to me, what does that mean? It means three questions. 3Q. Three questions. It's based on the Sunday morning teaching. So whatever we say in here, the teaching that happens Sunday morning, usually me, somebody, sometimes somebody else, it happens right after the service. It's either online and on site. You can choose either one. It's three simple questions to help us engage with what we just heard. It's not a test. It's just simple questions to help us engage. Usually the first question is, what jumped out at you in today's teaching? Super easy, super simple. And you go, well, I can't join in with a group on Sunday mornings. I got to run. I got a bus to catch. I got work to go to. I got things I got to do. So I guess I can't do 3Q. Well, I have good news for you. The 3Q questions are recorded on a video and they're uploaded to our YouTube channel every single week when it's running. And so you can take that 3Q video yourself and you can gather your own friends and do a 3Q session. You can gather your own family over dinner and talk through the three questions that are there on the video. You can make it part of your own devotional time if you want and journal some of your responses. This is the easiest cohort. There's no commitment. You can drop in when you're able to and be part of it. You can join when you can. It's super casual, 6 minutes per question, plus a little intro and we pray at the end. It's never more than 30 minutes, okay? That's 3Q. It's one of the cohorts. And you go, great, I'm going to stay for it today. No, you missed the 3 months of it, and it's over now. We're going to prayer today, okay? Turn to the person beside you and go, we're going to prayer today. I don't want to lose you, okay? Second cohort. Let me talk to you about Alpha. Alpha is a video-based course that is used around the world in multiple denominations. I love it. It is for those who are exploring Christian faith. You haven't made a commitment yet. Or maybe you have, but you don't really know what you signed up for, and you're new. Or maybe you're kind of like, I need a bit of a refresher. I forgot kind of the basics of what it means. And you want to find the language again and be able to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. This is who this course is for. Now, let me also say, by the way, it's also for those who are accompanying someone who is exploring faith or is new to faith. You go, Patty, what do you mean? I mean, don't bring your friend to church and hand them off to me, okay? A little nervous laughter through the room, okay? You bring them. You bring them to Alpha. You accompany them to Alpha. Invite them to come and be part of it so that you can have conversations with them together. You can be part of Alpha. Now, Alpha is usually about 11 weeks long. In the middle of it is a Holy Spirit day. They just did one a week or two ago on a Saturday, which that whole day is set apart. We come together on site and we focus on the Holy Spirit. We learn who the Holy Spirit is and we just make space. We really take time to pray. We make space for the Holy Spirit in our lives. And you go, can I just drop into Alpha whenever I want? No, you can't. That's what 3Q is for. Alpha, it's leveling up the commitment a little bit. After the first 3 weeks, we close the group because those first 3 weeks are crucial and they're essential. But once those 3 weeks are over, we close the group and the group continues on and finishes it off. You still with me? Okay, third cohort. First one was? Second one was? Okay, the third one has 9 syllables. Hospitality experiment. Okay, I know it's supposed to have 2 syllables. I know it's supposed to be catchy, but I couldn't figure it out. Okay, 3Q, Alpha, and hospitality experiment. Okay, here's the fun part. Last week was our final 3Q for this semester, and we were sitting around talking, and we were talking about what jumped out at us. And last week we had this question of, are we still doing that? And so Ian, who was part of our small group at our table doing 3Q, he goes, that kind of jumped out at me, because he goes, before the pandemic, we were talking about hospitality. And I thought, oh, hospitality. Are we still doing that? Did we finish that? Now, Ian, I just want you to know, I think you're on vacation right now, but if you are watching this service, yes, we're still doing that, okay? I know that a pandemic puts a damper on hospitality. I understand that. But we're still doing it. And we even talked the last few weeks, should we change the name? Should we make it catchier? You know, two syllables like 3Q and Alpha, make it really snappy. And D, I reached out to some of the participants of Hospitality Experiment. I said, what do you think? Should I change the name or should I? And D said, no, the name was perfect. Don't change it. That's what tells people what it is. And then Ian said, well, are we still doing hospitality? So we're sticking with the name for a while. And you go, well, it's a little stubborn to emphasize hospitality in a pandemic. Yes, it is. Stubbornness is one of my virtues. But here's what I want you to hear, okay? Because I think some of you maybe haven't heard this, okay? There's two words here. Number one, hospitality. Say hospitality with me. Ready? Hospitality, big word, hospitality, five syllables, okay? We are not defining this as strictly as you might think it's being defined. If you think hospitality means you're gonna come to this group, which I lead, and I'm gonna say, clean your house and bake a cake from scratch and invite strangers in, then you're gonna go, I don't think so, except for those of you for whom that's your thing. Okay, I'm just going to let you know, my house is not clean right now. I don't remember the last time I baked a cake. And I've gotten to know my neighbors, so they're not strangers anymore. Okay, so when we talk about hospitality, we mean lowering some boundaries. We mean, opening ourselves up and being present to some of the people that are around us. It doesn't mean that you have to cook a giant 5-course meal and invite the whole neighborhood into your house, okay? When we're talking about hospitality. And then somebody else said, well, Patty, I think the word experiment is a little scary. That's 4 syllables, experiment. It's a lot. And maybe people think that they're going to pass or fail. And there's going to be measured outcomes, and then they're going to be judged if they do it wrong. And I just want you to know that's not the case. We're using the word experiment because we're going, well, we're trying something. We're going to learn together and see what happens. It's really hard to get it wrong. And really, the hospitality experiment cohort is about us. It's about us, me, learning to carry Jesus into my world. I'm the one being shaped. People are not a project. I'm the project, letting the Holy Spirit shape me, starting to listen and understand and notice where God is at work in my neighborhood around me, and listen for that and watch for it and be present and lean into it. Okay, that's what the hospitality experiment is. Now, when we go through that cohort, we use a book very loosely. It's called The Art of Neighboring. And it's a fantastic, we use that loosely, but we also just incorporate spiritual practices of listening and reflecting and watching and all that, and submitting ourselves for God's Spirit to fill us and to work through us. And we even pray the prayer that some of you have learned, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. That all becomes part of the hospitality experiment cohort. And I recommend most of us need to go through it twice because it takes that long. It takes that long to shift our thinking because most of us are running so fast and we got things to do and jobs to go to and classes to go to and we're busy and we don't even know the names of our own neighbors. And shifting to slow down and be fully present in the world where God has placed us in the various moments, that takes time to shift. You're thinking, learning to hear the Holy Spirit's voice as a nudge. It takes time. So the hospitality experiment also runs 11 weeks. It also closes after the first few weeks because we're going through this together as a group and we're building relationships and we're bonding together. We recommend that people that are in this group are people who have already made a commitment to follow Jesus. You go, why? Well, because it's functioning from the assumption that God placed you where you are. That God placed you in your neighborhood, in your building, on your street, because you're going to carry Jesus there. And so we're kind of assuming you're going to function from the same assumption. So it makes sense that you work from that assumption as well. Now you go, okay, so I do 3Q, and then I do Alpha, and then I do hospitality experiment, and then I'm done? No. These are not one, two, three, you know, once through each one, and then you get a certificate and you go, there, I got it. No, no, no. These are ongoing. So you might start with 3Q because it's easy and it's a low commitment and all of that. And if you're new, it's a good way to meet people. And if you're not new, can I just have you come join us, because there's new people there and they need to connect. So even if you're not new, come and be part of 3Q. You might go from there maybe into Alpha because you want a refresher on faith, or you're bringing somebody else or whatever. Sometimes it's on site, sometimes it's online, depends on the semester, okay? You might go from there into the hospitality experiment because you're so excited to see what God could do through you if you gave God space for that. And then out of that, you might have a friend that says, really, you go to church? Can I know more about that? And you may end up bringing them to Alpha or to the 3Q group or whatever. And it just goes on and on and on. That's why there's circles sort of rolling along. Alpha, 3Q, hospitality experiment. And the whole thing is based on a foundation of prayer. Okay? Between these cohorts, which run for about 3 months at a time, between them, we emphasize prayer for a month on Sundays, three times a year. That's what we're doing all the way through the month of August, starting today. We're going to stay after our service, and we're going to pray. And you go, I don't know how to pray. We're going to teach you. You're going to learn how to pray the same way I did, in a group of people that just start praying together. And you might say something out loud, or you might not, but either way, you're going to learn to pray. And we're going to join together in praying, and we're going to add that into our foundation. And you go, well, what about our Sunday morning service? Yeah, we're still doing that too. We're just not pouring all of our energy into this 1 hour on Sunday mornings, because Sunday morning's not the end game anymore. Okay? Turn to the person beside you and go, Sunday morning's not the end game anymore. Okay? Most of you didn't do it. Front row in the balcony, I saw you. You mimicked my gestures. It was very nice. Well done. I saw that. Okay? We want to be disciples. We want to be people that are growing. We want to be people that are learning. We want to be people that are continually coming to maturity in our faith and actually walking it out, so that when somebody goes, oh, are we still doing that? Right away, the answer is yes. It's faithfulness. It's walking in the same direction one step at a time over and over again, and it does matter. It does make a difference, and it does impact our world, and it does shape you, and it shapes me, but probably not in 30 days. It probably takes a lifetime. And so we're going to end our service with something else that we're still doing and still have been doing for over 2,000 years. We're going to share the Lord's Supper together. Oh, are we still doing that? Yes. Right? Yes. And most of you, you received it on the way in. If you didn't, there's tables. 1, 2, 3, 4. And they have juice and bread on them, and you can go get it right now and just come back to your seat. If you're at home, make sure you have some juice and some bread with you. And we're going to share the Lord's Supper together. We're going to eat together because it's part of our faith. It's something that Jesus brought, Jesus instituted, because Jesus is the one who is the point of our foundation. Jesus is the center of our faith. Jesus is the foundation of our faith. And that doesn't change, never changes. The whole center of Christianity, the whole point of it, is that Jesus lived and Jesus died. And Jesus rose from the dead. And Jesus is returning. That's our faith. One of you said to me this morning before service, you know, I still believe Jesus is coming back. And I said, I do too. I do too. This is the center of our faith. If it's not about Jesus, I don't know what we're doing. And so you take the bread in your hand, and we read the scripture that we've read countless times before. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. And on the night that Jesus was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Can we just thank Jesus right now? Jesus, you lived and you died. Your body was broken for us. And that is hard to comprehend and sometimes hard to explain, but it is the core of our faith that you sacrificed for us so that we could know you, so that we could know God. And you told us to remember. You told us to remember. Maybe just whisper out loud, "Jesus, we remember." Let's take it together, can we? Then take the juice in your hand. In the same way, I just love this, picturing Jesus with his disciples just sitting around a table, eating and drinking. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Can we just stop and let those words wash over us? Jesus, you created a new covenant, a new way, a new path for us to know God. And you invited us to do this simple practice, eating and drinking, as a way to remember, but also to proclaim Jesus until you come again. And so, Lord, we join in with the millions of followers of Jesus all through history, all around the world, who have done this very thing, proclaiming the Lord's death with the hope of your return. And we say thank you. Thank you. Let's take it together. Do you know what you did just now? You just proclaimed the Lord's death and the Lord's resurrection and the Lord's soon return. It's part of our faith. Can I invite you to stand with me? It's a lot. I said a lot today at high speed. I know. But here's my longing and here's my desire. I want to be a church that has more than just people in the seats on Sunday morning. I want to be a church that turns inside out and overflows with followers of Jesus who are carrying Jesus out into our world. Doesn't that sound like something you want to be a part of? Sounds good, right? So God, in Jesus' name, I just pray over our church family right now. Some of them are online. Some of them are on site, and I know that there's people that aren't part of our church today, and they're joining in as well, and I bless them as well. But Lord, I pray over our church family. Lord, we don't want to be just people that show up to God on Sunday morning for an hour and then live our lives as if the rest doesn't matter. We want to be Christians that are still doing that. Are still every single day walking it out in faithfulness. And when we trip and fall and when we mess up, we want to pick ourselves up and do it again and do it together. All of us together as a local church family, just walking together and walking out our faith and not just being converts, but being disciples, followers of Jesus. Lord, as we continue on as this church here for over a century, would you help us to be a congregation full of disciples, full of followers of Jesus? Help us to each to be a part of that, Lord. God, now we're going out into our world. And we're going out into the space where I said we believe that God placed us there. So, Lord, each of us is going, you know, to home to our own building, our own street, our own neighborhood. We're going to our own jobs. We're going to appointments and families and friends. And we don't leave you here, Lord. We, each of us, we are the hands and feet of Jesus. Can you hold out your hands in front of you this morning? Lord, you have commissioned us to go. And we welcome that commission. Would you help us in this moment to recognize it? And when we leave here, to walk out of here carrying Jesus well. And help us, Lord, as we go to do good and to love each other and to reveal Jesus. And help us to follow you. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Everybody said together, amen, amen. Listen, listen. We're going to pray. You got about 10 minutes, okay? We're going to pray back in here, and you're welcome to stay in here. There's coffee out there, so help yourself to some coffee. We're going to have some snacks in here if you need some little sustenance to get you through a prayer meeting. We would love to have you stay and be part of it. And if somebody asks you what you did this weekend, you tell them that your pastor said, are we still doing that? Okay? God bless you. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next Sunday.